devil is busy. Those of you who are gathering around the world, bear with us and pray with us, and because the devil does not want this message to get out. And I know that we have a group of Christians today who think that when you say anything about the devil, that you're giving him too much credit. And we're not giving the devil too much credit. We're just acknowledging that there's a evil force against us. Are you done? It's just like the man who was in the ring fighting, boxing, and the man was wearing him out. Gave him two black eyes. His eyes were closing up. It's still going off and on like it was in months ago. You need to fix this permanently. Make sure everything is connected properly. And there it is right there. You know what it is. Just fix it. And every time the boxer went to the ring, went to the corner of the ring, his manager kept telling him, you're doing great. You're fighting well. You look like a champion. He's not laying a hand on you. His eyes were closed. Nose was bleeding. And he said, man, he's not laying a hand on you. He hasn't touched you. And the boxer looked up at the manager, well, you better check that referee because somebody is beating me very badly. And so we acknowledge the fact that the devil is busy and that the devil will use Judases to try to hinder God's word and God's work from going forward. And so you pray for us as we will be praying for ourselves. And so that the word of God would go out freely and souls would be saved and lives would be changed and God's name glorified and Jesus exalted and Satan horrified. This is not our first rodeo. I've been preaching the gospel and the word of God every day, nearly, with just a few breaks, for going on 1,000 days. And I feel no ways tired. I have no intentions on quitting, even though the devil and some people would like for me to quit preaching. But that will not be happening by the grace of God until I leave here. So let's stand and turn in our Bibles to the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, number 82. / Daniel Fast Encouragement, message 18. And we're going to pick up where we left off on yesterday. Daniel chapter 10, verse 4. For we have read 1, 2, and 3 many times. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, Another name for Hiddekel is the Tigris River. One of the rivers connected with the Garden of Eden, or Eden. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. This is where some black people draw that Jesus is black. And I say to them, everybody does not have to be black for you to accept them. Jesus is Jesus, whatever color he is. And we thank God for what he has done for us. Amen, somebody. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise you, and I praise you and thank you for allowing us to be under satanic attack. It lets me know that we are doing something right. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. And I thank you for the fight. I thank you for the battle. And there are many other Christians whom you have wired that way, that we don't mind the battle. We say bring it on. We are not afraid of the devil. We only fear you. And so, Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace, your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help your people here and your people out there to pray, for there's great power in prayer to you, because you are the God who hears prayer. You have all power and might in your hands. We individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults for Jesus Christ's sake. Please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts by your grace forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, help us to forgive those who have sinned against you and who are trying to hurt you and trying to hurt others. For because you are in us, we have righteous anger against those who try to hinder your work, who try to hurt the name of Christ, and who try to hinder little ones and others from coming to Christ. Holy Father God, in spite of the devil fighting us, this has been a great morning. And I thank you for continuing to reveal and to show me the things that are happening and to show me the things that enemies are trying to do to tear down your work. And Lord, and to hinder your word from going forward. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this place and from this message today, and from the hearts and minds, souls and spirits of all of the people here and beyond. And we pray that you cast out the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage out of the minds, hearts, souls, and spirits of those people who have been cursed with this spirit. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would bless and have everything else to go smoothly, decently, and in order. For your glory, praise, and honor, for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, and for the encouragement of the saints. We cast all of our cares and worries upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace and with your joy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Hudson Taylor said in Shaanxi, I found Chinese Christians who were accustomed to spend time in fasting and prayer. They recognized that this fasting, which so many dislike, which requires faith in God, since it makes one feel weak and poorly, is really a divinely appointed means of grace. Did you get that? Fasting is a divinely appointed means of grace, for it will break down the foolish pride and the control of the flesh in our lives. It has a way of humbling us, breaking us, making us, and molding us to be what we should be. Perhaps the greatest hindrance to our work is our own imagined strength. And in fasting, we learn what poor, weak creatures we are, dependent on a meal of meat for the little strength which we are so apt to lean upon. Ladies and gentlemen, as we progress towards the end of our Daniel fast, we are taking a closer look at the communication Daniel had with God and his messengers surrounding his 21-day fast described in Daniel 10. It would appear that fasting was a regular part of Daniel's life, considering the accounts of him fasting as a young man, and now again as a man who would be considered an old man. After his latest fast, he describes a vision of a man who appeared to him by the river Hiddekel, or Tigris River, one of the great rivers associated with the Garden of Eden. Describing the certain man of Daniel's vision, Dr. Warren Wiersbe writes, "Suddenly, without announcement, Daniel saw an awesome sight, a man wearing a linen garment and a golden girdle. His eyes like flaming torches." Does that sound familiar? "His arms and feet gleaming like polished brass, and his voice sounding like a great multitude." We aren't told what the man said when he spoke, but the combination of his appearance and his speech was overwhelming, even to us today. The men with Daniel didn't see the vision, which I pointed out to you on yesterday, that people who might even be with you may never see the vision if you are a fasting person, a praying person, that God will give you. But they felt the terror of a powerful presence and hid themselves. Who was this man? Was he an angel sent to assure Daniel that God's heavenly armies would care for the Jewish people and see to it God's will was accomplished? Was it Gabriel, who had already visited Daniel? Or was it a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God? Students of the scriptures have ably defended each of these three views, and so it's unlikely we can, unlikely that some can be dogmatic. However, the description of the glorious man resembles the description of the glorified Christ given in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And John's response was the same as Daniel's. Daniel had already seen the Son of Man at the throne of God in heaven, described in Daniel chapter 7. But this man was on the earth and very near to Daniel. I believe that this was a vision of the glorious Son of God. Wiersbe notes, "We cannot be dogmatic about the identity of this man who appeared to Daniel, but what we can be sure about is that he was a special messenger sent specifically for the prophet with a message only for him, a message that is not recorded in Scripture. Daniel was left alone when the man appeared, and he alone heard his words. By prayer and fasting, we can receive special revelation from God specifically for us regarding our particular concerns or situation. God is able to hear your prayers. God is able to respond in powerful ways to your fasting and prayer. And God, even in the issue that we're dealing with, and that is the sin of gluttony that's in the church. And more, I'm so happy that more and more preachers are touching on it and admitting that they are guilty. Since I started preaching this this series, the point of this message is, if you pray and fast, God will give you the help you need to not only break the gluttony sin problem, but any other sin problem in your life. He will reveal things to you. He will teach you things. He will help you to repent by the power of His Holy Spirit, and He will help you to change. That, you say, "Preacher, how do you know?" That's what He's doing with me right now. He's changing my mind slowly but surely, like never before, about food. And I'm not sick. I'm not under any threat by a doctor telling me I need to lose weight. I am as healthy as I want to be by the grace of God, having just had a physical just a few weeks ago, where everything the doctor told me, actually told my oldest daughter, is just fine. They were just a little bit concerned about the elevated sugar, A1C, I think they call it, and but it was okay. It's not anything to be alarmed about, but that's the truth, and I give God the glory, praise, and honor for that. But He's changing my mind about the importance of eating vegetables and not eating all of the wonderful meats and pleasant breads that I love so much. And God will help change you. It will take prayer and it will take fasting for many of us to let go of the idol of food, which is apparent from our huge waistlines. Let's pray. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, Holy Father God, of our sins, the sin of gluttony, the sin of enjoying food too much to the point of being overweight, being obese, not looking as good as we should, and not being as healthy as we should be. So help us to repent of this sin, for it is the root sin of the whole problem, even though we don't want to admit it. And you don't want us to mutilate ourselves and cut things off and band our stomachs up. You want us to stop being gluttons, eating more than what we should eat, that we should leave some food behind for the very poor and not try to stuff ourselves. And Lord, through fasting and prayer, give us sweet victory over this sin. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, some practical information regarding the Daniel fast comes from the Daniel plan. The Daniel Plan, 40 Days to a Healthier Life by Dr. Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman. The book guides readers to adapt the Daniel fast and continue it as a lifestyle. The authors continue to say, living by faith means you are attempting to do something you cannot do yourself. God must help you. Anything you can do by your own effort obviously doesn't require faith. But in the areas of your life that seem unchangeable, the intractable problems, the persistent areas of failure, the stubborn bad habits that won't respond to willpower, these things require a power greater than you possess. That's the key point. That's why I'm not just giving a lecture, I am preaching on this from the Word of God, being used by the Holy Spirit of God to speak to our hearts about not only overeating, but the sin of gluttony. Back to the text, just ask anyone who has overcome an addiction. You may have had so many failures at changing the way you eat or exercise or think or act that the possibility of lasting change feels like an unreachable goal. Well, to be honest with you, it probably will be. unless you plug into God's power, God's grace, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. What is impossible from a human standpoint is easy with God. With God, all things are possible. With God, today's impossibility is tomorrow's miracle. Are you ready for a miracle? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It will take faith to achieve and maintain the total health that God desires for you. But it begins with admitting that you don't have enough power, you don't have enough willpower of your own to become all you're meant to be, even in this area, even in this space. People of faith are those who admit that they can't do it on their own. This is one of the reasons why the world hates the people of God. This is the reason why they pick on us and call us losers, because we admit we can't save ourselves. We admit we need God's help. It's not a matter of being a loser in that regard. It is a matter of being humble. And humility wins the day every time. The journey starts with humility. Have you taken that first humble step yet? Let God help you and give Him the glory. Amen, somebody. Before I leave you today, let me remind you that the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And all you have to do, if you want to be saved from your sins and saved from an eternal hell produced by your sins, your disobedience to God, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save your soul, and He will save you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And He is more than willing to save you from sin and hell today by His mercy and by His grace. None of us deserve it. So I would encourage you, my beloved, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And thou you shall be saved." And pray and ask Him to save you. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9, If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear friend, are you willing to pray right now and ask God to save you based upon your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again? I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize and I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I have committed sins against you, such as lying, such as stealing, such as adultery, such as lust at other people and other things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I have broken many of your Ten Commandments. I believe with all of my heart that you died for my sins, Lord Jesus, that you were buried and rose again, and I'm praying that you would come into my heart to save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray and for his sake. Amen. And dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, that is simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me personally at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our many other platforms and sites and email addresses online. And let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is our prayer. Let's all stand. Just now.